Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Gimel. And there was 9 texts. That puts us on page 108 and 109. Yesterday we began the discussion of hiring non-Jews as a kablonus to do a contract. Versus a schir yom, a day worker, and we discussed a lot of those halachas, and we said, generally speaking, if you contract them beforehand, you set up the price before Shabbos, even though he's going to work on Shabbos, that's all right. But one of the important factors was this has to be something that's discreetly, it's not out in the public, because people will think that maybe you contracted the person on Shabbos or hired him as a daily worker, whatever. So those are the general rules. And now we begin, what did I say? It's Yud Dalet, right? Which halacha?
Yud
Dalet. I said Yud Gimel. It should be Yud Dalet. Okay. And that's the bottom of page 108 and 109.
Can I ask you a question before we get to Yud Dalet? Because we had a member who asked.
Well, you know, let me, I'll tell you what. Let me do the next 2 halachas and finish the sugya, and then we'll take questions for closure on that. Yudal, Lufika, now we come to the practical. Therefore, if a Jew makes a contract with a non-Jew and sets the price to either build him a courtyard or build a wall, or to reap his field, or hired him for a year or two to build the courtyard, or to plant a vineyard. So now, and this is in a permissible way, the action was done was correct, but if the action that he's doing is in the country or in the tchum, the area where the Jews live, then he's not allowed to let him do that work on Shabbos because of those people who see what he is doing, right? And that's something that is something in a public area, that's a big problem. However, it's interesting that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that something that is we don't allow because of suspicion is allowed if it's for a lot of people. Because when something's done for a lot of people, there is no suspicion because everybody knows that what it's for. If he's working for the whole community, right? He's working, let's say the community has contracted him to do something. And everybody in the community knows he's a contracted worker, right? So then that would be okay. So therefore, any congregational needs, everybody knows, is okay.
It's the caretaker,
right?
In the shul.
So now it's the caretaker in the shul, you see? The caretaker in the shul, he's contracted on a yearly basis, right? And the work he does, not everything has to be done on Shabbos. If he wants to do on Shabbos, he'll do certain things on Shabbos, right? And therefore, we know no one's hired him on Shabbos. So for that matter, you know, theoretically, you know, you could have them build a shul on Shabbos, even. Theoretically, if you're hiring them to build a shul, and you told them you want to have it done in a year's time, whatever, and you give them the date, and you're not telling them they have to work on Shabbos, if they want to work on Shabbos, theoretically, it would be okay. However, Lamaisa, we don't allow it. Even though it's for the group, because it is a chil Hashem. Whatever you could say, the shul is not meant to be built on Shabbos. So, you know, technically.
Well, the Mishkan wasn't built on Shabbos.
Right, I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying, you know, technically, but it's still, it's not proper.
This is not exactly
right,
the
right.
Source.
Yeah, so that, therefore we don't do it. So that's fine. But a normal case, if one guy, if it's in a populated area, we don't allow that. Why? As the Rambam continues, She'enim Yodim Shapasak. People don't know that he contracted it that way. And therefore, you know, what happens if they did do it? Well, so he brings down from the tour, what if the non-Jews built it anyway? You know, or was built be'isser, right? So many say one should be machmir, not to live in that house. Then he brings some others who say, if the Jew tells him not to do it, and then the non-Jew didn't listen to him, then he can live in it. But if you flagrantly violated the law, then there's room to punish the person. Now, what if the action he did was outside the tchum? He did it in another city, and there aren't a lot of Jews over there. Muta, that's allowed. Why? There are no Jews going to see the worker work on Shabbos. There's no problem with Marasayan. Okay. Tesvav, similarly, Now, how about the following? You know, people would own farms, and they contract the farm out. There's a rental fee, let's say, for the year. The guy rents it out. The place I go to Godrich every year, it's a huge property. It's got a huge farm there. And the guy who owns the place, he leases it out to another farmer who does the work on the, whatever, the 50 acres, whatever, that's over there to farm out. So, and that's, you know, a fairly commonly done thing. So if a Jew has the farm and he wants to contract it out to a goy, you're allowed to do that. Even though he's going to be planting things, seeding and planting on Shabbos, on your property. But that's still, but I've rented it out to him, number one. And more than that, Sharoa Yodea Shiskurinheim Obarisus. Everybody knows that that's the common practice, that Jews will lease out their property to non-Jews. The non-Jew is giving him a price for the entire year, and he gets all the profits. So the Jew doesn't get any benefit of him working on the field on Shabbos. I got paid for the year. He can work whenever he works. He doesn't have to work 7 days a week. Similarly, if a guy's a sharecropper, or a sharecropper, really it belongs to the Yid, and the non-Jew works on the field, and he gets a share of the crops. So the same idea, that he still is doing the work for, the non-Jew's doing work for himself, because he wants to get his 30% or 50% of the crops. And again, he doesn't have to necessarily work on Shabbos. So everybody knows that that is the common practice, because that's what they did in their times. However, on the flip side, v'davar sheshem Yisrael b'olav, let's say something that where it's, there's a Jewish name out that this, business belongs to a Jew, or this place belongs to a Jew. So Kori Olav, that the Jewish name is called on that, and the Shulchan Aruch gives examples, say a bathhouse, Shloima's bathhouse, you know, and he'll lease it out, the Goyim are going to lease out his bathhouse. Shloimi Shvitz, right, or an oven, all right. So those things are ready. And that's not the general way for most people to lease it out or to have some kind of sharecropping arrangement. If that's not what's customary to be done, then also laskir lenachri. Then you can't rent it out to a non-Jew because people will think he's working for you. He doesn't even know it's rented out. He's working in my shvitz. It's my shvitz. He's working for me. Why? Because the non-Jew is doing work in this place on Shabbos. And people will think that it's for the Jew. And that's completely, and a non-Jew is for sure not allowed to work for us on Shabbos. And Yidden will think that that's what happens. And that would not be allowed. Therefore, one second. Therefore, he brings down over here that last piece. So Yitzhakah says, if a Jewish business was leased to a non-Jew, right? You know, I guess they have, let's say, certain industries, you know, like a plant, you know, where the Jew runs it, but let's say on Shabbos he doesn't need it. Or for weekends he doesn't need it, and he'll lease it out to the non-Jew, whatever. So it would appear that the non-Jew was hired by the Jew to run his business on Shabbos, when in fact he could just be leasing it to him, right? So that would be Marasign as well, because, you know, because it is prohibited for a Jew to lease his business. Under those circumstances, he wouldn't be allowed to be leased him. Now, this would probably be in a Jewish-owned neighborhood, business in a Jewish-owned neighborhood where leasing was not publicly done. So, therefore, it can become a little bit complicated. So, you have to ask Shilas in these areas. Okay, now we're ready for the onslaught of questions. Yes?
I want to ask, you talked yesterday about Maritain. You brought up the different things as well as Zilzul Shabbat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my question is this. It's a doraisa to give another Jew benefit of the doubt, correct?
Why are we worried about people transgressing doraisas? Because that's the reality.
No. My question is, if a Jew is required to give another Jew benefit of doubt, then why, it's like maritain, which is rabbinical, correct? Didn't you mention?
Yeah.
So isn't it overriding that Jews in general should just give other Jews the benefit of the doubt? That whenever you see a Jew doing something that you might suspect?
You should. But the rabbis know that people don't, number one. They don't.
So that means we all transgress.
No, you only need one. You only need one.
What do you mean, one?
You only need one to transgress. It's bad enough. Jews talk. You know, why give them something to talk about? We always say, you know, there's a lot of cases, avak lashon hara. You don't say lots of praises of a person in front of a crowd because somebody will come with lashon. Why? Rest a judge favorably. So we know there is a mitzvah. We know there's a yetzer hara for people to transgress. So why should we do anything that could? There's other halachas. For example, you have to always. You always have to do things. I forgot the exact lashon of the Chazal. It's got to be, you know, clean in God's eyes and clean in people's eyes. It should be beyond suspicion. What do you mean? People shouldn't suspect you. But that's the realities of life. People do suspect. When you're dealing with crowds, people suspect. A. B. The other side of Maris Sinai is people will think you're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
There's two sides to it. Either A, they'll think you're doing the wrong thing and will say bad things about you. And B, it's not allowed. I guess you can have a non-Jew work for you on Shabbos, because you see, Schwartz is doing that. So people will just make a mistake in the halacha.
They're judging favorably and still probably.
They're judging favorably. So I never knew. I guess it's allowed to have a goy work for you on Shabbos. That's also part of Maris Sinai.
It shouldn't be in a city where there's no Jews.
If there's no Jews, then it's not a problem. Neither reason is a problem. That's why we don't worry about it. But the reality, I hear what you're saying, Alan, but Lomaisa, we know, listen, we just know wherever we are. Do you think people judge the rabbi favorably? They're always criticizing this and that. And that's a rabbi. That's the reality. So Chazal understood the nature of people such. So why should we even, you know, bring people to a test if we don't need to bring them to a test? Okay, what was the next question?
You mentioned about leasing out a business.
Yeah.
How about a legal sale, Erev Shabbos and...
So we'll talk, we have partners. We're going to talk about partners.
No, I don't think there's partners. I mean, I know, not in this city, but I know in another city, and it's a food establishment that has a heksher from the Rabbanim, and it sells Friday and buys back Saturday night.
Right, that they're not working for me. That's fine.
So, but Gentiles are running it during Shabbos.
But it's not in a Jewish neighborhood. Doesn't matter. That's okay. Yeah. They're allowed to lease it from you. So, that's what we said. Well, you know, let's do the next halacha. We're jumping on. Let's do the next halacha. Okay, we'll see the next halacha. Let's look at the next. It's the next halacha. Yeah.
Maybe this is too. But we're talking about the sharecropper. But if the sharecropper works on your property on Shabbos, you're making money from him working.
No, I'm not.
He's taking a share and you're getting a share.
He works for the year. When he decides to work, it's his business.
So that's only if he works annually. But if you let him work only...
It's on a daily basis. You don't have no such thing as sharecropper on a daily basis.
You can't hire someone in on a Saturday.
Then you can't do that. We already know that's a steer yom. The example they give is where you're renting the property to the guy for the year. Or he's a sharecropper. Sharecroppers go by the season, not by the day.
Okay.
So that's not a problem. Okay, let's look at the next halacha. We'll probably relate to what you're saying. Tazayin. Mutar lahashil kelim. Well, sort of. Lahashil kelim ula haskir munachri. You're allowed to lend utensils, and you may also rent them out to a non-Jew. V'af bisho also v'ha malacha b'shabbos, even though he's doing work with them on Shabbos. Right? But you can't lend it out to them on Shabbos. Right, and you can't lend him. Let's say on Friday, when a non-Jew doesn't have time to even bring it out of the Jewish person's house before Shabbos. That's all be that it's out of your domain on Shabbos. It's not your business.
They sell the domain, basically.
You what?
So you can sell the domain. It's kind of like selling a
home. Well, here we're talking about utensils, but I would see no difference in a property. So there's a utensil, right?
Right.
Exactly. Factories, utensils, and everything,
it's a baby,
right?
So
you're leasing it out just a little bit before Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos.
No.
So you're doing it a little bit before Shabbos, and that's okay. Why? We're not commanded to make sure that our utensils rest. Right? Ready? Explain that. That's not a problem. Utensils are a lot of work. Avo behemto v'avdo, but my animal and my servants also that I can't do. Why? Because we are commanded to have our animals and our servants rest. Okay, so there's a big so the case of lending is no problem at all. The case with renting, there seems to be a big machloikas. Tosfos and the Ravid argue on the Rambam and say by renting it's prohibited because it looks like you're getting paid for the work that's happening, even though it's not really, but it's kind of, you are making money on that. That's their opinion. The Rambam disagrees. And where is it now? Where does it bring that? Which one is this? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Rama says the customer is to follow the Ravid's opinion, he says, in terms of not renting out your utensils, as it were. But this, I don't know, really is necessarily utensils. And again, if it's not in a Jewish area, there'd be reason to be lenient. And this is where we do find halacha lemaisa, as we'll see, that people make certain arrangements if they have businesses that run on Shabbos, where they sell the business every Friday, and the business belongs to somebody else. And that's really how you have to do it. You have to. We'll see. You have to develop a partnership, and that's what comes up in the next few halachas.
Well,
and the guy's making his own money, his own profits, his own everything. It's like you're almost selling him the business for that day. So in all these situations, you have to create legal documents that sort of say, like, you've sold him the property, but it's got to be from before Shabbos to allow that to happen.
I don't work on Shabbos, but if my office, if I don't own the office either, it's somebody else owns the office,
but
he leaves it open on Shabbos.
Who owns the business?
The other guy owns the business.
So you don't own the business?
No.
So you're a worker, partner? What are you?
Kosher partner, but
you bill for what you do.
I bill for
all right. So nobody's working for you on Shabbos.
You don't get anything from him working. Well, from the office being open.
I mean, if they book some of my patients to go in, and I'm not there. I don't know. I'll see. I don't book anybody, obviously, because I'm not there.
Do you make any income if someone else treats your patients?
It's possible some of the patients that are coming on Saturday are mine.
But would you not get paid if they?
That would be a problem.
But if you're not asking him to do it, though.
Yeah. No, I don't ask any of it. No, because I don't want the office to be open at all in China.
All right, so
saying that.
Okay, we'd have to talk afterwards. We'd have to work through a lot of details afterwards.
He's going
to
drill you about this thing.
Yes.
Rabbi, what about Resna?
What?
You know, they may have one janitor there on a Saturday, but because we're there, they may have four of them. Or if somebody has a simcha, they may have six janitors.
They're not working for us. They're not working for us.
But they're only there because of us. They're only there because we're there.
First of all, that's so fine, but they're not working for us.
We pay them to be there because of us.
It's not like we're really paying them per se. It's like
we're paying the board.
This is what they're forcing us to do. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're doing it for them. We're not paying them. We're paying a general rent. First of all, who says we can't pay? We can pay to rent the place. Why can't we rent the place on Shabbos?
We're paying them to work.
So what? We're not paying them to work. First of all, what they're working isn't really malachas of Shabbos that are also number one. Okay. You know, whether it's cleaning up. Who says you can't have a guy clean up for you on Shabbos?
What about tying the garbage?
That's right, their business. We'll talk about maids and things like
how
that.
They're going to do it as their business.
And they can leave it untied till after Shabbos. They don't have to
finish it. You know, and we wouldn't ask them to do a lot of these things. Right? And some of the things they are allowed to do.
They're coming in, they're turning off the alarm so we can get in.
Okay, that they're doing. We're not asking them to do that. It's not. I'm not saying turn on the alarm. That's the way they want to run it. I didn't ask them to run it that way.
You look at
it,
we're paying.
If I say to him, Joe, put on the alarm. Joe, take off the alarm. Joe, this. We just want to rent it. That's it. You got all these rules you have. That's not my problem. I didn't ask you to put the alarm on. I didn't ask you to take off the alarm. I just want to use the place. And you're charged with this. I don't even care for the caretakers. And they don't have to bring caretakers on Shabbos. They can bring caretakers Arab Shabbos. They can bring caretakers much of Shabbos. I'm not telling them to do nothing. They're saying, if you want it, this is what you pay. Finish. Okay?
But if the lights aren't on in the classroom and we need
okay,
them
on. Okay, so there's halachas that allow us to have them put it on.
This is for the community.
For the community, for mitzvah, things like that. Mostly rabbanans anyway. So that's not a problem. I'm not saying, Joe, go turn on the alarm. Go, Joe, turn off the alarm. Joe, do all these things. We want to use the facility. We're allowed to pay to use the facility on Shabbos. You could pay a goy to let me use the facility on Shabbos. That's what we're doing. Now they come up with all these other rules that they're working internally, that the goy comes there before. As far as I'm concerned, leave it open. Leave it open Friday. That's what they're doing for themselves. They're putting the alarm on Friday for themselves. They're turning the alarm off for themselves. They're cleaning it up right on Shabbos for themselves. They don't have to. And I'm not asking them to do it. Right? They can do it after Shabbos. But it's for, and they for sure can do it after Shabbos because there's nothing happening till Monday. They don't want to do it on Sunday. So that's not my problem. And most of what they're doing isn't a malach anyway. 99% of what they're doing is not malachas. And whatever malachas they're doing, I'm not asking them to do malachas. What am I asking? Sweep the floor? There's no malach in sweeping the floor. What do they do right? They don't do anything as it
is. They do turn the lights on.
They charge us a lot. You know. But again, ready. But we have light anyway. It's in the day anyway. Remember we said if you're really not, it's not in the dark. And there's a lot of other hetayrim.
When we're there Friday night.
There's a lot of hetayrim that are there. First of all, we're there Friday before Shabbos. The lights are on before Shabbos. If they want to turn the lights off after, it's their business. It's not my business. Right? And there's a lot of leniencies for Tzorech Mitzvah. We couldn't daven otherwise. So there's a lot of leniencies for that. Okay, let us continue. Where are we up to in the time? There we go. All right, Yud Zayin. Now, Yud Zayin and Yud Ches are dealing with partnerships. Okay, we'll begin this topic. It's quite a long topic. Where am I going to get to the... Okay. Okay, it's not that long. Okay, Yudzai. Hamishtatev im anochri b'malacha o b'schora o b'chanus. A person is a partner with a non-Jew in a type of a work or type of sales of merchandise or owning a store. Any of these types of partnerships. Im hisnu batchila. If a condition was made in advance, in other words, in the beginning, when they're setting up the business, right? And now they make these conditions. And what's the condition? That the non-Jew gets all the profits of Shabbos, if it's a lot or little, means he gets the profits of Shabbos. That's it. Uschar yomacher can I get yom Shabbos Yisrael levado, and another day profits just goes to the Jew. Like well, the goy gets Shabbos, the Jew gets Sunday. No, you get all the profits of Shabbos. I get all the profits of Sunday. They keep the store open. Store's open. The goy is working the store on Shabbos. Whatever profits come on Shabbos, he's getting all the profits of Shabbos. I run it on Sunday. I get all the profits of Sunday. And the other days we split or whatever. So if we do that, then mutar. That's allowed. And when he says mutar, it's not bidyeved, but it's lechat chila. Initially, that's something you can do. Now, okay. Okay, can leave there. So it's good. That's way too complicated. Okay. Alright, fine. Where am I up to now? But what if they didn't make a condition to begin with? So, kishiyavo, lachlok. So then when they come to divide it up, and they didn't make any conditions, and the week's already gone back, and now they have to divide up the money. So, the goy gets all the profit of Shabbos. That's it. The other 6 days, they gotta split down the middle. Right? The ainah mosif lo klum, and the Jew doesn't get anything else. Now this is a shaila in the Gemara. The Gemara did not come to a resolution in this case. The Rambam paskins go l'chumrah, that a Jew doesn't get any portion, you know, for the weekday as opposed to that, because it would look like now the non-Jew's like paying him for that, because it's after the fact. It's like he's paying him for that. The Rush argues and says, since a Jew working for you is only a shvus anyway, and since it's a suffik, how we paskin in this shaila the Gemara, so suffik sveik sveika, he should go lakula, and therefore he can get half of the wages that the non-Jew gets. That's how the Rush paskins. So he argues with him. And the Ramah states that after the fact we can rely on him, and so like the Rush b'di'evit, you could do that. So you could get still have the profits even after. It's because Lamaisa, the non-Jew, was really working for himself.
But half of what, on Sunday?
I don't know, half of Shabbos.
Oh, half of Shabbos.
Half of Shabbos. You shouldn't do this, but b'di'evit, you have on whom to rely on. You can get half of Shabbos.
Only that 1 week.
Half of Shabbos or half of the week, including Shabbos?
Well, it'll be half of everything. It's half of everything, including Shabbos. Half of the take.
So b'di'evit, if he didn't make an arrangement and there's losses on Shabbos, did you have to pay?
I mean, it's a partnership. I think the guy would insist that he should pay
for
half.
He can't get the profits, but he has to give the losses.
No, according to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to convince the goy not to charge him for the losses.
It's the Rambam but, says.
I don't think the goy would agree with that. But according to the Rush, they say you get half the profits, half the losses. It's fair. You're getting half and half.
That's only that 1 week. That's
or whatever. Let's say it was a year. Whatever. I mean, you should go and make an arrangement. You know, you should go sit down with a rabbi. You know, I've done this with guys who have different businesses that they really are the only owner. And then so they have to find a way. How do you keep the place open? Like Larry Garber's got his McDonald's. You know how many Shilas are over there? You know, it's like so many Shilas. Not only is Trafe selling over there, he's not allowed to make
there's
money McShilas, on the bus in the house.
Sure.
They place open on Shabbos. So there's a whole thing you got to do. You got to get a non-Jew, and you got to make the non-Jew a partner, and he's a partner, or you're selling. He is the owner of the business on Shabbos. And he's the owner of all the trade food. He's making all the profits of the trade food. He make a whole legal transaction, and you have to trust the goy. But he pays a lot of money. I think like $4 million we did for the goy, and he gives a down payment of $5, and then we kind of leave it like that.
Is it valid in civil law, or is it really?
It really is valid in legal law, what we do is after make the deal, I rip it up and throw it out. So then. So there was the transaction, but there's no way of proving it. In case the guy wants to, you know, if you sign a document, it's a document, right? It's a document. If you lose it, it doesn't take away the fact the document happened.
Right?
In other words, right? We signed a whole thing, and it says that the guy owns all. He owns everything of the trade food for the next 10 years, whatever. I forgot what we wrote.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And all the Shabbos and Yontif sales. We listed all the Shabbos, all the Yontif throughout for the next 25 years, whatever. We wrote a long thing, and he paid Chais $4 million for it, and now we don't have to collect it, you know, so we kind of make up. We're not going to, you owe us, we're not going to collect, and you're going to get your profits, but you have to pay rental, so for the rental, there'll be some of your profits go to the rental, whatever. So then when we're done, it's legally done. Then I just throw it away. And no one has a copy of it, so that it won't, even though it is done, but the guy could never go to court and prove anything. Even though I'm going to say, you know, so that's the way you do it. There's different ways. There's different ways. Different up on him.
What would you do? Let's say the guy took to court.
I'd say
no evidence.
I'd say prove it.
No, but isn't that dishonest?
Because he knows in advance what we're doing. He said he knows in advance.
He agrees.
Yeah, we tell him it's this Jewish thing, and he can't be over in Shabbos, and this enables him. I mean, you take a guy you trust. You don't take a guy you don't trust. Right?
So you mean there's like this implicit understanding that
it's legally his,
yeah.
But he's not going to enforce. We're not going to enforce to collect the $4 million.
So
he's not going to.
Selling chametz is wink, wink.
Well, it's a legal thing. No, the chametz thing really. No, that we mamish let him keep it, and if he wants it, he'll have to pay $1 million. So you know he's not going to do it. I mean, there were mices in Europe where the goy would just the Polish goyim, they just go right into the beer store, they didn't start drinking, and they couldn't stop them. What happened? Okay, but anyway, so that's good. Let's do one more. We've gone a half an hour already. We can do one more. Ferhes, Yudhes. We didn't go half an hour yet. Vim lo, he's Yudhes. Vim lo, he's new. What if they didn't make any condition? Uvo lach lakas socher. And they try to divide the wages, but vlohi yaskar Shabbos yudua. They don't know what the Shabbos profits were. It got all mixed up with all the other 7 days. And that's according to the Rambam now, who says that the goy keeps the whole Shabbos profits. So, Yerelisha, Nachri, Neikel, Levad, Shvis, Hasachar, Vashar, Cholkim. To me, it would appear, give the goy 1/7 of the weekly profits. We'll assume that 1/7 would be Shabbos. You know, we might not be 100% accurate, but it's the best we could do. And the other 6/7 are divided in half.
Well, this is if no deal was made.
Deal was made. Now, even this, the Rush would argue on this as well. And the Rush would say, B'di'evit, we'd split the whole thing up. Now, here is a case of investment now. What do you give a goy money to do business with? Here's $10,000. Go to the Leipzig Fair and, you know, whatever profits you make, and you'll share with me the profits. Is that, you know, use my money for business. And whatever, I'll give you a 10% cut of the profits. All right, so now, even the goy is clearly working on Shabbos 100%, they divide up the profits equally, or whatever way they chose to divide it up. Because why? V'chein hora kol gomim, the gonim all agree to that halacha. Why? Because let's think about it. Are you doing any work with the money? You're not working with the money, right? And it's no worse than his utensils that you can work, right? So cash is just being passed around. That's all that's happening. The goy is not doing any work on behalf of the Jew, and it's not clear who he's doing it for anyway. It's not like, you know, he's got $10,000. That's Schwartz's money. Cash is king, you know. Cash is cash. It doesn't have names on it. So therefore, you could really give a goy money. We have to give it to him before Shabbos. He takes it on Shabbos. And let's say he's going to a convention on Shabbos to go buy things. So he could buy for you, you know, $1 million of stock of certain things. And then you come back afterwards and you could sell it and you make profit. And why not? There's no work being done for you per se. And the work that the goy is doing, he's doing for his own business so he can make his own profit.
So if something was on sale in a store, you could give the goy his money and say, buy it for me?
That's directly for you.
No, but that's in a business.
That's just for you.
That's
his mom is your shaliach. You're giving guy the money to invest. He's doing the investment for his hit because he wants to make money on doing the investment.
So go out and buy two, one for me and one for you. I mean...
No, he's still buying for you.
But he's profiting for you.
You're not allowed to buy that on Shabbos, right?
You're not allowed to do business on Shabbos with your money.
I'm giving him the money to work with it, right?
He has a pool of your money and his money. It's in his interest.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Okay, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Shkoyach.